This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the Onside Kick. My name is Ricky Widmer, and as always, I'm joined by the Mark Weber.
Dub them ease.
And today we have a special guest, not just Mark Weber, but we have Mike Rakin from Behind the Pen in the studio.
Thank you very much for having me on. It's an honor.
How's it going?
Absolutely fantastic. You're welcome.
Yeah, and he's saying you're welcome because you can see us on video. I'm going to wave. Mark's
is that why he's saying you're welcome?
Yeah,
I was a little confused by the you're welcome.
He always says you're welcome. For those of you on SoundCloud, Mike always says you're welcome when you can see his beautiful face on
YouTube.
Check
us out on YouTube.
Yeah. Here's the question, though. Mike, have you ever been on this side of the table?
I have once for a Patreon.
Yeah, that was it.
That makes sense.
He's never been on this side of the table with me. Because I've always done a podcast when you're on Behind the
Pen. We'll see what happens.
And this is the first time you two have actually met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what the thing is, too? Onside Kick, MVP Original, you guys are the founding members of this show.
Yeah, and I typically don't like to meet my employees if I don't have to.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I just I signed the checks and I mail them out. I don't know if they get to you,
Mark,
but I mail them out.
On there.
I have not received one yet. I also blame Ricky because...
Hey, man, just... That's how
it's
Mark
always
rolls.
Ricky's fault.
It's always Ricky's fault. Apparently, it's like that
naturally.
In the comment section too. But today is a great day because we are finishing up our previews for the NFL season. Then we can get back into real football topics and not have to preview everything. But we've got the AFC East this week. Basically, the last time, or I hope it's the last time, we will ever have to touch Deflategate ever again, as we hope this is the end of it. But if you're new to the podcast, this is how we do the previews. We're going to start with the baddies from last year. So we're going to start with the Dolphins, end with the Patriots. We'll talk about the Bills and Jets in between. In the end, we'll give our prediction, who we think can win the division, who can go to the playoffs and why, and then we'll close up shop from there. But let's start with the Miami Dolphins, the baddie from last year. And I only say the baddie because you guys had the worst record in the AFC East. And what I usually like to do is I like to throw out the free agents that this team gained and lost. The big losses, Olivier Vernon, he's now with the Giants. Lamar Miller, he's in Houston. Derek Shelby, he's now in Hotlanta. Some of the guys they gained, you got Bushrod from the Bears. I guess that's a plus. Mario Williams from the Bills, I guess that's a plus. Andre Branch from the Jags, I guess that's a plus. This team didn't really gain a lot via free agency. However, they could have gotten one of the biggest steals in the draft with Laremy Tunsil.
I like it. You know, yes, he smoked a little bit of weed.
I was expecting you to make your joke
He smoked a ton of weed.
A Tunsil weed.
And it was awful timing. I mean, that just kind of goes to the media nowadays with the way you can just destroy somebody in an instant.
Yeah.
At just the right time.
It was just such an odd thing that went down with the whole Laremy Tunsil thing, because he went into the draft as the number one projected player, and literally the second the draft started, this video of him with a gas mask gets posted on his Twitter.
I believe it was, 12 minutes before the draft started?
And obviously it wasn't him who did it.
No. Well, so, why would you do that to yourself?
Right. So somebody had it out for him.
He really wanted to play in Miami.
Oh, that's Tannehill's
there. Where else are you going to go?
Everyone loves the Tannehills.
Everyone does.
But I mean, I say that they could have gotten one of the biggest steals, because if he actually pans out, you're getting a number one pick at what? They picked
13.
Around
13.
What, 13? Yeah.
Yep.
You're getting a number one caliber pick outside the top 10.
And it's exactly what you need right now. You need to give weapons to Tannehill and keep him on his feet, make sure he's healthy, and getting Tunsil is going to be one of the best additions you can make to the offensive line. And also remember, was not the first offensive lineman taken in the draft. So because of that, he might just kind of let it get to him, but I think it puts that chip on his shoulder. We're constantly talking about the chips that are on various players' shoulders, but it really helps out for a lot of these guys. And I think it just pushes him to be a little bit better. To just not let guys get past him, not let people hit his quarterback. He's in a good team. He's on a good, part of a good system. I don't want to get too crazy about these Miami Dolphins right now. But this was a pretty good spot to go. I mean, you could have gone here, or you could have gone to, I don't know, San Diego. Not excited about that. Some of your other options, like San Francisco, not excited about that. This was probably the, if he wasn't going to, of course, go to the Cowboys, this is one of the better teams he could have been a part of.
Well, and I say that I'm going to piggyback off that, and the thing that makes this a great situation is this is a team coming in with a new head coach, new offensive, I'm going to say offensive mindset, because that's where Adam Gase, that's what he does best, is the offensive side of the football. Coming from Denver, where he worked with the Denver Broncos, then coming in working with John Fox with the Chicago Bears. I believe he, didn't he work with John Fox both in Denver and Chicago? So coming from that John Fox coaching tree, he's going to bring in, going to be able to work with this young guy, Tunsil. But to me, I think this is more important for, I know in, I believe Brandon did the Miami Dolphins season preview for us. We got a comment from a Miami Dolphin fan that's like, oh, Tannehill is shit. Well, maybe this is the year where Tannehill can actually have somebody to work with who just got done working with Jay Cutler and Jay didn't look bad with Adam Gase. Like, I rag on Jay Cutler for everything, but he didn't have the worst season last year with Adam Gase. Yeah.
And I just want to piggyback a little bit off of what Mark was saying.
We're just piggybacking all over the place.
I mean, that's how it is here in MVP. We piggyback off each other. So what you said about trying to keep Ryan Tannehill on his feet is that's it. That's the truth right there. You need to be able to have a solid line in front of you because you want your quarterback to be able to sit in the pocket like the type of player Ryan Tannehill is. And just off of what you said with Adam Gase, I think he's going to fit really well here in Miami, and I think Ryan Tannehill is going to benefit a lot from Adam Gase, especially with the play style that he calls. It's conservative. You see a lot of, especially with the Bears last year, easy throws. He's got his checkdowns, and you know he's still got some weapons on the outside. It's just we got to see if this is the guy you want to build around in Ryan Tannehill. Is he going to be more than mediocre? Who knows? Maybe the relationship there helps.
He lost quite a bit. I mean, you could say what you want for Greg Jennings, who actually retired from the game of football this week. You can say that when I was talking to Brandon about it, Brandon was like, oh, well, he's been retired for 3 years now, basically making fun of his success on the field. But you got to look at what's around Ryan Tannehill. I wouldn't be that excited if I'm a Dolphins fan because you've got Lamar Miller. Like I said, he's now in Houston. Now you've basically, your two running backs are Jay Ajayi and Arian Foster, which Foster coming in, you basically traded Lamar Miller for Arian Foster. Right. That's what you did. Yeah. And then Rishard Matthews, he's no longer on the team. He's in Tennessee. That's all I wanted to say. Mike, take it.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to talk about that running back situation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that go along with the Adam Gase offense is to be able to play off that run game. Mm-hmm. If you don't have consistent running backs, then you're going to hurt Tannehill in the long run.
Fortunately, Tannehill is going to be a more capable quarterback than falling apart Peyton Manning. Because Adam Gase didn't really work with Peyton Manning at his peak. He didn't get that luxury there. He got to work with Jay Cutler's best season of his career.
Statistically.
But at the same time, he wasn't going out there and letting Jay unleash the dragon out there.
Mm-hmm. No, he's working here.
Yeah, he's working with conservative quarterbacks. And that's going to work to the advantage because quick throws, you're not going to let the opposing team get in your face all the time. So because of that, they're going to want to stop that. Opens up the run a little bit. You don't need the best running back right now. And Arian Foster was once the best running back in the league, essentially. Debatable, but he's going to be at least top three. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy, he's had plenty of time to rest. So this could work really well. Pair that up with Parker. Kenny Stills I'm not too excited about. But, Jarvis Landry. You got Cameron out there. You've got options for quick throws to just slowly, methodically move down the field.
Well,
this can be not a great team, but this can be a good middle-of-the-road team.
And, I mean, right now, if I'm looking at ourlads.com, which I love for up-to-date kind of depth charts for each team, the top three starters for wide receiver is they're saying that Devonta Parker is going to be on the left. You've got Kenny Stills on the right side. And then Landry's going to be in the slot. Those are your first three starting wide receivers.
Could be worse.
Well, it could be worse to me. I want to see a lot of Devonta Parker because last season I expected a lot out of him in general because I was like, okay, kid coming out of Louisville, man, he's going to be one of the top receivers. And I never saw anything. I drafted him
You wanted him on the Vikings.
I fell off of it because it's like, well, he's not doing anything in Miami. So if the wide receivers and the running backs can just click, maybe that can be enough for Tannehill. And the one thing I do want to mention with the running backs is maybe this year they use a kind of running back by committee with Foster and Ajay. And they did draft Kenyon Drake, who was a good backup in Alabama. Maybe try to work him into the rotation as the season goes on so that eventually it's like, okay, we can get rid of Arian Foster and now Kenyon Drake is right behind Ajay or even the starter next year.
I think something that kind of needs to at least be thought about here is this defense and if they can perform at the level that they probably should. Obviously missing a huge part out there. Big contracts can pull players away easily, but still having Sue, still having Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, you hope that he can bounce back to, you know, what he should be. But there are some good parts here, and it doesn't make sense why a quarterback like Tom Brady shouldn't be scared out of his life. We saw Von Miller just hit him time after time and time, get him on the ground. There's no reason why Wake and Sue can't do the exact same thing.
Well, and the thing you got to look at is the biggest loss that they had defensively, like I mentioned before, was Olivier Vernon. You basically lose him, but tag in Mario Williams. And to me, Mario Williams is going to be the key because how is he going to do when you have Sue and Cameron Wake are getting most of the double teams? Can Mario Williams then kind of capitalize? Because if Sue and Wake are getting double teams, that's four out of your offensive linemen for two people. What can other people not Sue and not Wake do for this defense?
Yeah, you know, with the Dolphins, it's an interesting situation because how much are you going to rely on their defense to put them in situations where their offense can succeed? Real quick on the offense before I jump to my defensive thoughts because, boy, there are some there on the Dolphins side. With Jarvis Landry, I think he's got to play a huge role in this offense. I think he's got to be Mr. Consistency. I think last season, Tannehill developed a decent repertoire with him.
He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year.
That's pretty decent. Yeah, but on the defensive side, they really focused early. I know they couldn't pass on Laremy Tunsil in the draft. In the second round, Xavien Howard, pretty good draft pick, cornerback. So they project him to turn out to be something pretty special. You look at that, that's something to be excited about. And you mentioned it, Mark, their front defensive line. You invested a lot of money in these guys. So they got to come through, especially in Dominican 2, Mario Williams. Look, it's tough playing in that Miami Heat as a defensive lineman. So you got to keep rotating players in. It's just the consistency. Is it going to be there? Because it's going to be huge.
And one of the last things I kind of want to touch on before we move on into the Buffalo Bills is kind of their schedule a little bit. And the Dolphins are going to have some games that they can capitalize on, but I look at their seven games before the bye are the ones I like to focus on because you've got games like, to me, at Seattle, at Cincinnati, at home against the Steelers. Those aren't going to be wins. I don't see them being wins. If you win one of those games, it's a shocker. But you're playing the Patriots without Tom Brady. Very winnable game now, even though it's in Foxborough, because Tom Brady's not playing. You play the Browns, the Titans, two teams I think you can win, and then a toss-up game against the Bills. If you can jump out to, like I have them, 4-3, I think that'd be positive going into your bye before you have to play Tom Brady week 17, the Bills again week 17. You have to play the Cardinals. You have to play a more improved Ravens team as well. If you can capitalize on those first seven, that'll set you up positively for the rest of the season.
Are they a playoff team? Probably not. I'm going to go and say no.
I've got them 8-8 right now.
Well,
8-8.
That's like being the eighth seed.
Now I have them third. They're the ninth seeded team in the AFC with my wins and losses
I mean, they got something to build on, I guess. 8-8, I never liked as a football fan. And my Chicago Bears might be 8-8
this purgatory.
Year,
it's basically football purgatory.
But that's what the Dolphins kind of need to be right now. They need to be a team that shows some life, but isn't going to really compete with the big boys just yet.
Like the Rams last year?
Kind of, yeah, except for the Rams are taking steps backwards right now.
True.
But the Dolphins need to just kind of get this going, keep a good defense, figure out. I mean, this right here is the season. It's not a make or break necessarily, but they got to get an answer out of Tannehill. Is he the real deal? Is he actually going to be around for the franchise for all of his career? Are we looking at somebody else? Do we need to start thinking about it? Because they keep giving him everything that they can, and eventually he's got to be the guy who shows up, takes the reins, and gets it done. If anybody can do it, it's this head coach, Adam Gase. That's going to be, you know, there's no excuses at this point.
We'll see if Gase can compensate for his skill set. I mean, isn't Tannehill more of like a college type of option quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he came out of a Texas A&M system where it was, did he have the potential to be something? I thought so. But it's kind of been something where in Miami just hasn't had a lot to work with. Like, he hasn't had the lucky luck in general to be placed with a guy who can develop him. Maybe Adam Gase can be that guy. But I want to move to Buffalo. We've spent enough time with Miami, probably a little more than we should. But this Buffalo team, I look at what they gained. I looked at what they lost. Free agency, yeah, you keep Cordy Glenn, offensive tackle, franchise tagged him. You bring back Richie Incognito. But other than that, you lose a lot. Percy Harvin is gone. You've got Ladonis McKelvin is now gone. Mario Williams is gone. You have Bobby Dixon is gone. There is a lot more guys that you lost than you brought in. The win for additions with the Bills came from their draft. Bringing in a guy like Shaq Lawson, even though he has some injury questions coming in because of a surgery he had.
He should be fine.
You also get Reggie Ragland in the second round,
very nice pick,
who I thought was a first-round talent. You also get Adolphus Washington basically hitting on inside, outside line, and second level of your defense. And then you go take a guy like Cardell Jones saying, hey, we got Tyrod Taylor right now, who had a pretty good season last year.
Yeah.
Surprised a lot. And, oh, we can have Cardell Jones maybe develop underneath him, but this is a season where I say is the most important for the Bills because they got to make the playoffs or else Rex is gone.
Yeah, and it's very likely that Rex is, in fact, gone.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good teams in the AFC. There always are a lot of good teams in the AFC. So there's a lot of competition out there. Honestly, if the Bills need to kind of set their goal, it's winning the division. And it's not even the stretch goal. That is the goal you need to make because if you lose it to the Patriots, if you somehow find a way to lose it to the Jets or the Dolphins, I'm sorry, but you're not getting in. It's that simple. You're not going to get in as a wild card. Right. There's too many good teams in the AFC North, for example. Too many possibilities in the AFC West. So you really have to go out there and win it yourself. The thing for, you know, for this team is this defense is getting really good.
Mm-hmm.
This run game is still really good. I don't care if Tyrod Taylor is the real deal or not. I don't need to be convinced about Tyrod Taylor.
So we're not talking
like... He needs to just do enough.
We're not talking like we mentioned last week where once is a fluke, two times is a this, three times a pattern. He just needs to do enough out there.
I don't think that Tyrod Taylor needs to be great because this is the best, you know, at least one of the best running games in the NFL last year.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that going. You've got a really good defense. No one here is questioning whether Rex Ryan knows how to... Well, get defense going.
He and his crazy brother.
He just needs to be okay.
That's a Rex Ryan team, though. I mean, look at they had success in New York with Mark Sanchez. And some of you may be saying, well, Ricky, Mark Sanchez is a good quarterback. Nah, it was that defense in New York that helped carry that team. Mark Sanchez just did enough to get them to back-to-back AFC title games. You can sit where you want on Mark Sanchez. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. But he just needs to do enough. And, I mean, look what you mentioned about other teams. The Steelers and Bengals are going to be playoff viable. Houston and Indy, that's four right there. And then I'm going to put the Raiders in that. So you have virtually, let's take two of those out because two of them are going to win their division. That's three other teams you got to fight with for two playoff spots.
And Denver, too. Denver's going to be right back in the thick of things.
Are they, though? Because,
well,
I mean
that's Mark not Sanchez what we're talking about. But
I know.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be among the playoff teams?
I've got them as a 6-10 season, just throwing it out there.
Is that because of
because he hates Mark Sanchez.
And they're saying Trevor Siemian might be the starter week one. If he's the starter, then sub-500.
That's a problem for them to worry about. But we don't have to worry about that. Yeah, well, with the Buffalo, I'm really I need to see something from Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like they're always coming up short. And it's kind of disheartening because it's always a Patriot every year.
For like 5 years, this team is supposed to have been the team that would come up and do something great.
J.P. Lossman, baby. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. No, I'm a believer in Tyrod Taylor. I think he showed a lot last year. Definitely better than E.J. Manuel, 100%. Tyrod Taylor, he's athletic. He makes the big play. He's got a great arm. Sammy Watkins is hurt, but he should be fine come the start of the season. He's a great weapon. LeSean McCoy is still going to dominate that running game. It's the defense that's going to really make an impact on this Buffalo Bills team. Rex Ryan, you know how he is with his exotic blitz looks and the way he loves his athletic defense. So I'm looking forward to that. But at the same time, it seems like they're always just one step away from being that team to make the playoffs.
In order to make the playoffs, and I'm only doing this because, as I said, I kind of went through my kind of early wins and losses for every team. Of course, there's like minute ones that may change. I may tweak some things and it may switch up the bottom. But with the Bills, I have them right now sitting at 10-6. That's good enough.
Is that good enough?
That's good enough for eighth. That's good enough for eighth in the AFC. Do I have some teams probably too high and too low? Yes, that's where things are going to change.
10-6 puts you in the thick of it. It's not good enough, though.
But I'm going to say this. In order to make the playoffs, what I feel Buffalo will need to do, because games like the Cardinals, the Patriots with Tom Brady, the Seahawks, the Bengals, I'll even put the Raiders because I'm kind of high on them this year. Those are losses. Maybe the Raiders one's a toss-up, but Cardinals, Brady, Seahawks and Bengals, those are all losses for sure. I don't see you winning those games. You have to go into your division and say, we got to beat Garoppolo. We've got to sweep the Jets and we've got to sweep the Dolphins. If we can go 5-1 in the division and only lose to Brady, that'll set us up huge to be able to go into the playoffs. And then if we can steal a game from a Cardinals, Cincinnati, Seattle, so be it.
I just want to reinforce the point that this Buffalo Bills team had a really good draft. Like, I just want to make that clear.
And that's why Rex Ryan hit what is his strength.
Yeah.
Well, this is the season for him. Mm-hmm. He has to do it right now. He knows that. He's going all in. The advantage that the Buffalo Bills have, there are not many coaches out there like Rex Ryan who can motivate his team on his own. And we're talking about, you know, the Ray Lewis last ride in Baltimore to win a Super Bowl, announcing it's going to happen.
Win it for the
and
Gipper.
It doesn't happen. This is one of those situations where the team is going to say, we know Rex Ryan's getting fired if we don't make it to the playoffs. That's going to be the kind of thing that might motivate them to get it done. Like I said, I think they pretty much have to win the division if they're going to want, if they're going to want to get into the playoffs. I don't know if I see it happening. The other interesting thing I just want to throw out there, I don't even care if it gets discussed, E.J. Manuel, bubble, cut watch, might happen. I'm expecting.
I could see it because if Tyrod Taylor plays well and if Cardale Jones
proves that he can be
viable.
You've got three of the same kind of quarterback.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have drafted Cardale Jones if you didn't think that he would be able to either replace E.J. Manuel or be a quality starter in 2 to 3 years.
I really like Tyrod Taylor. I'm a believer.
Ah, Tyrod came on. I would like to see one more solid season. I'm not going to say flash into like has to be amazing. I want to see one more solid season before I totally buy in on Tyrod.
Before you crown his ass?
Yeah, he just kind of. Can we take a second?
Absolutely.
I totally forgot. Absolutely. Beginning of the podcast. We're going to take a second here. Yeah. Middle of the podcast. We got to remember the great. I'm going to say the great because he played for my Minnesota Vikings, Dennis Green.
Yep.
Passed away this week.
Solid, solid coach, solid player. Well, very, very well known in internet meme territory.
And Coors Light commercials.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the man commanded a lot of respect. Got a lot of respect from various players and media in the NFL.
Dennis Green, Coach Green, holds a special place in my heart. He was the coach of my team for the better half of almost, I want to say the better half of a decade. He was the coach that was there when I fell in love with my Vikings. So It's when you made a really bad decision. Like, you always remember your first. And I will say this: I still remember the season he got fired from Minnesota. We didn't make the playoffs because at the time it was okay to like push a receiver out of bounds.
Is this against the Cardinals?
This was against the Cardinals.
I remember this game.
Pushed him out of bounds. We didn't score the touchdown.
Oh, that was heartbreaking. I was rooting for the Vikings that year. I was.
And then he got fired that year.
Yeah, Dennis Green is a recognizable name in the world of the NFL and football in general. I remember he was, I don't personally remember, but mm-hmm. I know that he was a coach for Northwestern when he first came up,
mm-hmm.
and Northwestern is one of my favorite colleges.
That was before my lifetime.
It was. Looking back at Dennis Green's career, I think it was a positive one, and everybody's going to remember that
Tyree. They thought they were.
That was just epic.
It was a great game, though. That was a great game.
Great game. I mean, that's what the Bears.
Mark had a huge smile on his face because the Bears
won.
It
was a great season.
How did that season end, Mark?
I don't remember.
No Super Bowl happened that year?
No Super Bowl happened. I remember Devin Hester returning a kickoff for a touchdown the first time in NFL history.
Then after that's a blank? Nothing?
I think that was the end of the game.
It was, I think. And we're not even going to go back to that because it's depressing.
Is there anything about the Bills that we have to touch before we go on?
The thing about the Bills is just that they need to take advantage of this defense being good. They need to do what Rex Ryan teams do. Control, you know, have that game management because you just run the ball really well. You don't make dumb decisions with your quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and then you destroy quarterbacks on the other side. That's what you need to do. I mean, it's pretty simple.
I'm going to say something. This is going for the Bills, but it's going to kind of bridge us over into the next team we'll talk about in the Jets. If I am Rex Ryan in the Bills, I am praying to God a deal does not get done between Fitzmagic and the Jets. The reason being, right now, like I said, I've got the Bills 4-2 in the division because I gave the Dolphins one late win. Because I'm like, the Dolphins may be able to steal one. The Jets with Geno Smith, I don't think they got a chance against the Bills. However, if Fitzmagic comes back with the addition of Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall still on the outside.
Oh, yeah, they're a playoff team.
Well, not just that. It's you could get swept by the Jets. So if I'm Rex Ryan, I am praying to God that Fitzmagic does not sign with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about the Jets, so we should do it. Because the Jets are that swing team of they could be a four-win team.
I don't think they're going to
They could be a playoff
all.
Team who won the division.
Well,
they could be such a swing purely depending on Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Let me say this, that things they gained, things they lost is free agency. They franchised Muhammad Wilkerson. They just got a long-term deal done with him. He's going to be there for good. They lose DeMario Davis. They lose Damon Harrison. That's their big ones. Ryan Fitzpatrick still on the out, still out there, not signed. Chris Ivory's, he is now
not
in
signed,
Jacksonville.
Not responding to text messages.
Antonio Cromartie's not there anymore. Steven Ridley's not there anymore. However, those two don't matter because you brought in Matt Forte from the Bears. You bring in, on the defensive line, Jarvis Jenkins from the Bears. You bring in Steve McLendon from the Steelers. This is a team that made some additions, made some good additions, and even in the draft, they bring in outside linebacker Darren Lee. They've got a quarterback in waiting that I know some like Brandon Swanson can't stand in Christian Hackenberg, and Brandon really likes to point out Hackenberg, saying that he's a hack, but this is a team that all revolves around, yes, you got Matt Forte, you still have Brandon Marshall, but I don't know, Geno Smith to me is not the guy. He's never going to be the guy. He's never going to win you any games. You'll be a five, like Mark said, maybe a five-win team. I got you as a one-win team right now with my early outlook. Like I said, things may change. Oh, I may tinker with things. Yeah. But right now, my gut reaction, you're a one-win team with Geno Smith at the helm.
You like to just do that, too. Mm-hmm. Ricky likes to just do that to some team.
And I liked right now just to get out there and say, okay, gut reaction, get my things on paper, look at it.
I get it. I did the same thing where I just kind of gut reactions and got some more two-win teams than they're deserved to be before you go back and you correct with smart decisions. But this team here, they've got a great defense. They have one of the better duos in Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall. Eric Decker probably purely because of Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall caught, you know, he was tied for the most touchdown passes last year. What more can you ask out of a wide receiver? You got a good offensive line.
You have, you know, Matt Forte, one of the best receiving running backs in the last decade. So you got all these great pieces here. The one thing that you're missing is a deal with your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I still say, yeah, Fitzpatrick, he's asking for too much. He doesn't deserve it. He had a little bit of a fluky season this past season, but he knows the alternative is Geno Smith. And he knows by week one, he's going to get that deal, because you can't go into the preseason with Bryce Petty, Geno Smith, Christian Hackenberg, and actually expect to win those games and actually expect to see anything worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that the Jets are going to run out of options and they're going to call him.
The New York Jets last year were a quarter away from making the playoffs. And we tend to...
It was that Patriot game.
We tend to forget that, but you know what? Under Chan Gailey, and Ryan Fitzpatrick has history with this man, Chan Gailey took the New York Jets to a franchise record in total yards on offense. They finished 10th overall in overall offense in the league, which is, you know, good, with the New York Jets traditionally mm-hmm. being more of a defensive team.
Yeah.
11th in points per game. And this was because of the explosive receivers that they had. We mentioned Decker and Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And the consistency of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, I'm not sure if it was more of a fluky season, because I think he was in a system that...
I think he just hit the right system.
That was it. And he had the combination of Bilal Powell, who mm-hmm. came up. Chris Ivory was a beast.
And now you got Matt Forte.
So you lose Ivory, you get Forte. That's a nice, healthy mm-hmm. balance for the New York Jets.
Who can receive.
We got to go back to the Geno Smith conversation, because mm-hmm. that's the thing. I think last year, him getting cracked in the jaw was the best thing that's ever happened to the franchise.
Greatest thing that ever happened to the Jets.
Do you want to commit to Geno Smith? Because at this point,
no.
you have a chance mm-mm. to take over the division. And mm-hmm. this is the team right now. You go out and make these big moves to get Forte. Just give in. Just give Fitzpatrick what he wants, and he'll take you to the playoffs. That's how it is. With Geno Smith, though, I don't think they're a one-win team.
I think
they're a six or an eight-win team.
I changed my mind a little bit.
I think they're a zero-win team.
Okay, I changed my mind a little bit, and I will say this. If Geno Smith starts game, well, let's say this. If Geno Smith plays the entire season and Ryan Fitzpatrick never hits the field for the Jets, I am certain that this team will start out 0-6. Cincinnati, loss. Buffalo, loss. KC, loss. Seattle, not a fucking chance. Pittsburgh, get out of here. Arizona could be a Super Bowl team this year. That's six games you ain't winning.
Even if they have Fitzpatrick and they go 2-4, they're still in it.
Fitzpatrick, it changes some things. I'm saying if Geno Smith is the starter for all these games.
I don't have any faith in him either, man.
The games that I just changed, I had them at 1-15. Now I've got them at 5-11. 4-12, 5-11. I changed the Baltimore game. Baltimore's eh. I changed the Brown game. I gave it to Cleveland at first because it was at home, but that one can go either way. I gave them the game against the Rams because I forgot Jared Goff is their quarterback and probably is going to struggle a lot. And then I gave them the 49er game. However, the 49er game, I could see Chip Kelly winning it because it's in San Fran. If the 49ers win, they're a four-win team. If the Browns win because those two are on the road and the home team could just get it because of home, then they're a three-win team. So I'd say 3-5 wins.
They were fourth overall in defense last year. Don't forget that.
Yeah, but the biggest position, the thing I always say about the NFL, if you said, Ricky, you get two positions to have the best anything. Give me a fucking quarterback who can lead my team and be the franchise, and give me people to block for him. That's all I need. I
just need position. I just want people to block.
I just need people to block for him and a franchise quarterback, and I can mm-hmm. win a Super Bowl.
I think it's as simple as this. If the Jets sign Fitzpatrick, they're a wild card team.
No, they are. They are. With Geno Smith, though, they're looking at the draft and then kind of deciding, are we going to take Deshaun Watson, or do we think Hackenberg's the future because Geno's not?
I'm interested to see the development of Hackenberg. I kind of like him. I know Brandon hates him, but...
I do. I like him a little bit. I do think he's got some things that he needs to work on.
Big time.
Because I think James Franklin didn't work with the kid enough.
But I think that's exactly why they draft the kid, because he's got Fitzpatrick there to kind of support him. Because
you think there's going to be a deal.
They
got
to get it done. But I think the Jets, too, drafting a guy like Christian Hackenberg, assumed
that Ryan Fitzpatrick would be there, and he would be there to. And
that's just a total lack of faith in
push
Geno
Smith.
Smith
out. Oh, for sure. Yeah, they know Geno Smith is not the answer. They know that for sure.
And here's the thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I'm taking this from Jason Whitlock from Speak for Yourself.
Why him?
I agree with him on this because this is what he said.
Ugh.
So, Speak for Yourself, Colin Cowherd, Jason Whitlock, their new show.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about this, and it was best bets or good bets, whatever they do. And it was, will Ryan Fitzpatrick be in a Jet uniform, or is it a good bet to say he will? And Whitlock said yes, because there was news that Fitzpatrick put his house in New York up for rent. And Whitlock said to me, that's a call, like, call my bluff card. Because if he was serious, that house wouldn't be up for rent. It would be up for sale.
He's just trying to get what he wants.
That's why. Like, if he was serious about getting out of town and not wanting to sign with the Jets, that house would be for sale,
yeah, but
not just for rent.
Really, you look at it, who the demand for Ryan Fitzpatrick right now, it's only the Jets, really.
If I was the Bills and had the money, I would throw money at Fitzpatrick just not to play for the Jets.
I wouldn't.
If I had the money. That's
They've already
what I'm
had
saying.
Him. They've already had
no,
him
no, no.
In
just,
Buffalo.
Just to, you're not going to start.
That.
We're just giving you money not to play for them.
No. You don't want to
so
invest
that
in an asset
play.
Like that when they have Tyrod Taylor?
Said if they,
nah, they
I said if they
though.
Have the money
creates
to just
problems.
Waste it on
Create
that.
Locker room problems. You don't want
to
do that.
But what I'm saying is you, could just, you don't even have to come to the game. Just stay at home. Just stay at home, sit on the couch. We'll pay you not
you know
to play
what Fitzpatrick's doing. If anything, it's evidence that he really is not going to play in the NFL mm-hmm. because he's thinking, well, my quarterbacking days are over. I got to move on to something else. You know what? It's real estate. I'm going to be a landlord.
Not even that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in New York.
I'll give you guys this. What are the odds that the Jets don't sign him, wait too long, freak injury week one or week two, and someone swoops in and takes him?
Well, that's a problem even with just the preseason. I mean, how possible is it for, you know, a...
Like if an Andrew Luck goes down again and the Colts swoop in and take him?
Yeah. If someone gets hurt in game one, game mm-hmm. two, hell, even game three, somebody can come in there and grab him because the Jets will... I honestly think the Jets will be willing to play out Geno Smith and Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg through, like, week three. After that game three, they're going to be picking up that phone call and saying, hey, man, we mm-hmm. really need you to show up.
We'll see.
God, if I was the Broncos, I'd be like, oh, let's give them a call, see what we can
Broncos
do.
Broncos have no money. They just spent
know,
all of it on Von Miller.
I know, but you could get them for cheap at that point.
And honestly,
a
I mean...
A one-year cheapo deal.
For Pittsburgh. Fitzpatrick, he's lucky to be on this Jets team that's good and actually mm-hmm. can compete. He just moves over to Denver. It's the exact same situation. It's a really good team that he just gets to luck his way into.
Yeah, we focused a lot on Ryan Fitzpatrick
yeah.
with the Jets today, but that's like the biggest
That's the
factor.
Story, yeah.
That's it is. Their huge story.
Because they're fringe average playoff team last year.
I like their defense under Bowles. That's going to be their defense is going to be fine.
Oh yeah.
To me, it's a quarterback play. That's the big sure. thing that's going to hold them down this year.
And they got playmakers on offense.
They
Why
do.
Not capitalize?
They
got to get the guy who get the ball to him. You know?
But you need a quality quarterback. But let's move on into
let's do it.
Deflategate. The last time we will be talking about Deflategate.
Probably
forever.
Not though.
Hopefully. Tom Brady has said he's done, but we don't know and. Some of the losses, Akeem Hicks no longer with the Patriots. You've got LeGarrette Blount no longer there. Terrell Brown no longer there. Who cares? The big additions, Chris Long coming over from the Rams. Terrence Knighton coming in from the Redskins. The big draft pick for them. Cyrus Jones in the second round was the first guy they took out of Alabama.
Shay McClellan, Marty Bennett.
We'll get to Martellus Bennett because that's going to be a big one. Him and Gronk.
We're not talking
Gronk
Shay McClellan
on.
Today.
No, okay. McClellan. I mean, yeah. Unless you really want
no,
to touch
no, no,
him.
No, we're good. We're fine.
But Deflategate, though, we're done with it. This
well,
is the
you
last four games, and Tom Brady is for sure not going to play.
Here's the thing. The biggest slap in the face with this whole thing is mm-hmm. just that Tom Brady, the guy who isn't going to let his backup even take a rep in practice,
mm-hmm.
now can't even talk with the team. He has to sit at home for these
yep.
four games. And you know that eats away at him. He can't do anything because he's going to be sitting there thinking, this is how I started my job. Quarterback was down. I came
yeah,
in.
But he's not going to. Like Jimmy Garoppolo's
I don't know,
not going to Tom Brady.
Turns out,
Tom
but here's
Brady
the thing. You're
4-0.
You're sitting at home.
They're not going 4-0. They got to play the Cardinals.
And we can talk about it. You're sitting at home. You've never really had to sit at home before. And this isn't like when you got hurt and Matt Castle came in, but you were still young and mm-hmm. everyone still knew you were coming back. We're at the
tail end of the Tom Brady career, he's going to be nervous.
Here's the thing, though, and the differences between the two situations. Tom Brady is, first off, fucking Tom Brady, and he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Drew Bledsoe at the time wasn't that good.
Yeah, he's falling off.
And he was falling off, and the Patriots needed a reason to get rid of him. And Tom Brady gave them a reason to get rid of him. For me, the big thing I look at, and it hit me today, of course, when I didn't listen to him. I usually do. Mike's going to give me an evil look because he says I reference him too much. But I saw a little two-minute clip from Cowherd.
I knew it.
And the thing he mentioned, and it was actually true, look at Tom Brady, look at Peyton Manning. And they're two situations. They're two controversies. You have Tom Brady. Ignore it for now. Get through the season. Not going to cooperate at all. Look at what happened. Peyton Manning, ignore it up front. Get through the season. Cooperate fully. It's done. Nobody talks about it again.
Yeah, I think
that's the difference. Sure. Because he didn't cooperate at all, that's why this lingered on as long as it did.
I think we just have to back it up a little bit and just understand this is an example of a power trip by the commissioner. And Roger Goodell came in and said, listen, I don't care. You're cheating. So I'm gonna punish you for it. And he's setting Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, as an example. Now, listen, with the Tom Brady conversation, with Jimmy Garoppolo overtaking his starting position, that's not going to happen. Tom Brady's going to go out in his own terms because he is the greatest of all time. I'll say that over and over again.
He's the GOAT.
He is. So with the whole Patriots situation, they got to get through these first four games. And you mentioned it. They have a tough schedule to begin the season.
I'll tell you this. You want to know how I've got it mapping out for them?
Please, let us all know.
They will be 1-3 under Garoppolo. I think the Dolphins and Bills will capitalize. Cardinals, not a chance. They will beat the Texans. Then when Tom comes back week 5, 13-0. They finish 13-3.
We can just talk about the offensive weapons that they still have.
Mm-hmm.
And Edelman's still there, right?
Edelman, Amendola, they just got to stay healthy. They got Marty Bennett now to go along
now you
with
have the
Gronk.
The dual tight end threat. And you know
the last time they had it was Hernandez and Gronk.
The value in a dual tight end threat, not
in
only
Patriots
as weapons.
I still do want to put some caution to New England. Got to give the ball to Martellus Bennett. Mm-hmm. Got to give him the ball because if you don't, that is locker room cancer. If you do not give him the ball, if you do not feed the monster, it's going to create a problem.
The black unicorn.
We'll see. I only kind of disagree there because he's playing for the New England Patriots.
A winner, finally.
An organization that does things a certain way.
The thing about Martellus Bennett, though, is he's a character, and I don't want to seem like I'm openly trying to criticize him a lot, but he's kind of a selfish guy. Mm-hmm. At the same
time. Absolutely.
I just worry because Tom Brady spreads the ball around. There are plenty of times where certain receivers are not getting their fair catch, their fair share of the catches. I just want to warn people that Martellus Bennett comes with some baggage.
Oh, he does, and that's for sure. He's a guy who has a personality, and when you have that as an athlete, sometimes that can be crossed over.
They kept Randy Moss under control.
Yeah, and I mean, well, Randy Moss that was at the tail end.
Historic.
Really, you could say they didn't because they ended up trading him, and that was when he went, did he go to the Patriots from the Vikings? That was at the time when it was like Jets, Vikings, Jets, or Jets, Vikings, Patriots, something like that. He got traded from the Patriots to the Vikings to the Jets. That's what it was because it was he played for the Patriots against the Jets.
You love your Randy Moss.
Went to the Vikings for a week or two, then got traded back.
He rips his shirt into Randy Moss jersey.
It's my jersey.
I'll never
forget Randy Moss jersey.
Just real quick, when he mooned the Green Bay Packer crowd.
Oh, that was great.
Fantastic.
That was a playoff game, I believe.
Yeah. So anyway, I believe
it was a playoff game. But no, this season for the Patriots, I think they're going to be fine. I don't think this four-game stretch is going to hurt them at the beginning. It's just going to be that Arizona. That Arizona game is for sure going to be a loss. And then it's what can you do? I think that the reason why I'm giving them a win over the Texans is, as of right now, J.J. Watt's expected not to play that game.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge.
If he does, it's different. But without J.J. Watt,
well,
I think Garoppolo will be fine.
What's the weak spot of the Patriots? It's the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
don't have J.J. Watt out there. Although, you know, there are still plenty of pieces to this Houston Texans front seven.
And notice how the two teams I also gave them losses to, the Dolphins and the Bills, what did we talk about?
The defensive line. They can put the pressure on. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. If they don't, if the Patriots do not figure out some kind of way mm-hmm. to stop that, to slow that down, it's going to be a big problem for them throughout the season. Without a doubt, the Patriots aren't going to miss the playoffs. We all know the Patriots aren't missing the playoffs. It's just a matter of, are they that team that gets a bye, or are they just kind of barely getting their division and having to play everybody?
I've got them as a three-game winner, winning their division right now, second best in the AFC, right behind the Chiefs.
Okay, so there you have it. You have ultimate faith in Tom Brady coming back like nothing happened.
13-0.
And just runs the team. 13-0
with Tom Brady. Really? Yeah. Well, and what's going to happen, the reason why I say that even more, is Tom Brady's going to come back, and we're just going to get pissed off Tom Brady. And when you have pissed off Tom Brady, that's bad things for the other team. I feel the team I feel the most sorry for this season is the Cleveland Browns week 5. Because you are going to get absolutely obliterated by Tom Brady. Like, he is going to... It's going to be like that game... Oh, what was it? A year or two ago? I want to say it was 2 years ago. Yeah, it was the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. And they had a bad start. And then on Monday night, they played the Bengals at home.
Is Tom Brady done?
And Tom Brady went, fuck it, I am going to run it on like five straight. And then just punched it in.
That's called an answer.
And then just gave one of these to like everybody that just criticized
him. Not literally, not like Johnny Manziel.
No, but it was one of those things where he punched it in and went, fuck it, we're here. And then they went to the Super Bowl and won it.
The Patriots are always a team that they can lose a ton of games at the beginning, still be in competition at the end. They'll always be there for sure. I just think that, you know, the one big thing to watch, it might not be, of course, for this season because they still have Tom Brady. Jimmy Garoppolo is probably not going to push Tom Brady out the door. Mm-hmm. But these first four games are going to be very, very important for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
and we got to look at that. All 31 teams are going to be watching. They're going to be paying attention to what Jimmy Garoppolo's got because they want to know, is this guy going to be free agent soon? Is he going to walk? Because Tom Brady's playing until he's 60. So it doesn't matter that he's 39 years old coming into the season.
It's like when you think
this is the answer for the future.
It's like when you think of NFL guarantees. One guarantee you can say every year, and this is just not me shitting on them, it's true. The Browns are under 500, under 5 wins each and every year. Then another one, Patriots win their division. Third, Rex Ryan always will make a guarantee. Those are like guarantees that you can say those will happen every year. Mm-hmm. Browns stink, Patriots succeed, Rex Ryan makes a promise he can't keep.
Overall, I think Goodell is just enforcing the power that he has, and he's like, listen, I can do this. I don't care what you have to say.
If Tom Brady, and this is my thought on it, if Tom Brady would have said, fine, I'm going to cooperate, then it would have been completely different.
Because he believed he didn't do anything wrong. That's the thing.
It doesn't matter. What you do is, if you are accused of something and you say, I'm not going to cooperate,
you're just making it worse.
Everybody thinks, oh, you're not cooperating because you did something. That's what happens.
Well, or he truly believed that he took advantage of the system
in a fair way. If you truly believe you did nothing wrong, it should be fine. I'll cooperate because I did nothing wrong.
That's the belief people have. If you've got nothing to hide, then what are you hiding?
Yeah, so obviously he had a say in the deflation of footballs because he worked with his ball crew or whatever and said, yeah, you know, it was doing
really
good.
Is it a stupid thing to suspend someone over? Yes. But I feel like if he would have followed the Peyton Manning route and cooperated completely, would have been a different story.
You know what? You made us listen to this damn thing for 3 years. 4 games is lucky. If it's me, you're out for the whole fucking season because I had to listen to this damn Deflategate thing for 2 years now.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. Serve your damn suspension.
Yeah. Remember last year when we talked about, oh, are the Patriots going to do with this 4 game? And then he came back.
Yeah. They're going to be fine. I don't see the Patriots being dethroned this year. So,
well, if New York has Fitzpatrick, they honestly have a shot at taking the division. If they can sweep the Patriots, they'll take the division. Because honestly, Patriots, they could be right around 10 wins. Jets also could be right around 10 wins. It might honestly come down to who's got that better division record.
I think the Jets are the most talented. But you add in Tom Brady, and then all of a sudden, it's the Patriots division.
And the thing that I like most is, of course, with the, I said the 13-0 after Tom Brady gets back, there are three games looking at it now. Four, I'll say four if Fitzpatrick comes back, that the Patriots could lose. First one, Bengals at home. I'd still give it to the Patriots just because it's in Foxborough. Steelers on the road. I'll give you, I might change that one because it's on the road. Seahawks at home. You're at home. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. And then Jets on the road. If I switch those two that are
gotta
on the road,
to Buffalo
11
too,
and
though.
5. Yeah, but the way I look at it is Buffalo will, they'll split. They'll win the first one, get
Bills are tough.
The Bills will win the first one, get real cocky, and Tom Brady will slap them in the face.
Also, just pointing it out there, I know it's a different quarterback now, but Von Miller gets to play Tom Brady again.
I have the Patriots winning that one because of quarterback play.
It's hard to play quarterback when Von Miller's on top of you.
Well, it's hard to fucking score the ball when your quarterback's a piece of shit.
Wow.
Yeah, no, not good.
I don't know, man. Trevor Siemian, he might have it going then.
No, has nothing.
He might get it
going.
Paxton
Lynch may be starting at that time. That's week 15.
I don't know. I think that the Broncos are honestly showing that
Mark Sanchez
Paxton Lynch does not have a lot of faith in that locker room.
Mark Sanchez could be injured at that time, and Trevor Siemian could be proven
just
that he's
bad.
Not the answer.
Yeah.
And Paxton Lynch could be thrown into the fire then.
Also proven to not really be that good. So, you know, maybe draft a new quarterback again.
And what's funny is now that I switched that Steeler and Jet win, they moved from first round bye to now hosting the Colts in the division or in the wild card round. So
see?
That's how much that could change with those two. But let's get into the last thing we're gonna do.
All right, what are we doing?
You're the guest.
Yes.
So I'm gonna start with you.
What is happening?
Who do you got winning the division? Who wins the division? How many playoff teams do we get from the East?
Oh boy. I think
prediction time, baby.
I think we're all in agreement that it's the Patriots division to lose.
Patriots win it. Even at 11-5 they win it.
I'm really interested in the Jets though. Even with Geno Smith. I want to see what they do. Bills, I'm not taking too seriously. They could be in the mix, absolutely. I want to see Tyrod Taylor take that next step. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of weapons on the offensive side, and they're pretty athletic defensively, especially with Rex Ryan. And the Miami Dolphins, they got to figure it out. First season under Adam Gase, mm-hmm. I think Tannehill would be okay, but I don't think they're good enough. Couple years, so right now, Patriots.
How about you, Mark?
Well, obviously, this is going to be the Patriots division. They should take it. Now, like I said, I fully believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick is back week one. And even though I think that they're probably not going to be as incredible of an offense as they were last season, the defense is still one of the better defenses. They've got an even better running game now. Things are looking better for the Jets. They can compete for the division. I think that probably gets them a wild card spot. And I think that the Bills have a chance to compete, but I don't think that they're really going to make the biggest splash. I do want people to pay attention to the Dolphins. I think this Dolphins team can make some splashes here and there. They'll probably get an upset or two somewhere throughout this season. I think they're a better team than people expect. They're just not a playoff team just yet. So, with that being said, Patriots, they've got it. Jets most likely have a wild card spot.
I'm going to, right now, based on when we are recording this, I am basing all of this on Geno Smith being the starter for the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
If Fitzpatrick comes in,
Changes everything.
But as of right now, I've got the Patriots at, I am going to have them stay at 13-3. Dang. That Steeler game could be the toss-up, but I'm still going to say they win it because it pissed off Tom Brady. However, playoff-wise, here's the interesting thing. With how I have the Bills schedule, it all comes down to one game. If the Raiders win at home...
Really getting
wait, deep here.
I like it.
If the Raiders win at home, the Colts get the last wild card spot at 10-6. If the Bills win that game, Colts are sitting at home, Bills get that wild card spot.
Wow.
It's going to be you go 11-5 and make the playoffs. You're not tied with the Patriots anymore because they're 13-3 again. You either get one win over the Colts or the Colts get in over you. And that's how it's going
to
be.
Lots of fun to look into the future.
As of right now, I will change it and put the Raiders as a loss. That could change, though. I will say Bills make the playoffs at 11-5 as of right now.
All right. Cool.
So You could have two from that. It's going to be, like we said earlier, it's going to be difficult because, I mean, how I'm looking at it, Steelers and Bengals, they're going to fight it out.
Yeah, the AFC's really tough.
They're going to get two playoff spots. I am confident the Steelers and the Bengals will be in the playoffs. Yeah. The Colts and the Texans are going to fight out for spots. The Chiefs are going to be a playoff team, but the Raiders are going to be that team that I think is second in their division.
I mean, you look at the AFC South, that's going to influence who comes out of that division. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Jaguars are going to be tough. And I mean, the Titans.
I got
Titans,
them at 7-9.
There's Titans are still
nine
young, but you know they're explosive. They
the thing 2-14. The thing for the South is that there's just a lot of competition for not really getting into the playoffs.
Well, they can give the division leader fits. That's all I'm trying to say with the Texans and
because it's all going to be the division winner. That's probably 9 wins. So
I
for
got
sure,
10
it's
wins.
Easy.
You're talking about the South?
Yeah,
I got 10 wins. So 10-6. Texans.
The team that comes out of the South is probably the fourth seed in the playoffs.
So, yeah, you're right. They are the fourth. The Texans would be the fourth seed winning the division.
So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that it's going to influence the playoff race. And
it, no, it is.
As much as it doesn't influence other teams like in the other divisions. But still, I got to stick with the Patriots.
Well, that's going to do it this week for the Onside Kick. I want to thank
you guys.
Mike for being
a
guest.
It is an honor.
We're
truly
getting a different opinion on here. Usually everyone's used to listening to me and Mark. The Onside Kick was back video-wise this week.
You're welcome.
It was weird. I wasn't looking at the camera as much, Mark, because I'm not used to us being on video.
Here.
I'm not used to us being on video. It's because Mike's a cocky guy,
here.
Mark. Mike is a cocky guy.
I
keep forgetting that you and Mike don't have that. Mark doesn't know the personality of Mike yet.
The thing about the camera, I like the camera, and we have it in a little bit of a different spot today, so we'll see how well it worked in this spot. Mm-hmm. So that way, in case anybody's like, wow, this is terrible. You guys suck. No, it's just the camera spot. Don't worry about
it. It's different for you. I think this is the one we've been using on the... Because it's been a few weeks since the Onside
Kick.
We used to have...
So nobody... This doesn't mean anything for anybody. Used to be higher, and the table's in a different spot. We literally have a... Because I don't care. We literally have a stand on top of a table right now.
I think I blocked you this entire podcast.
It's very possible.
I think the table could be moved a little bit. So
that's all right. It's more me.
We're going to get these kinks worried out. If you're like, man, why is only one video podcast per week? The people on SoundCloud are like, Ricky, I don't care. Close the goddamn podcast. But for you guys on YouTube, if you want to see more video podcasts, check out patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. The more that we're able to do is the resources we have, the time that we have, that's a way to make sure we get both. And it's an extra way to help the channel rather than hitting the subscribe button and the like button, which also help tremendously. Go do that if you haven't. But that's going to do it for the Onside Kick. For Mike Rankin, Mark Weber, Ricky Widmer, Twitters are down below. Thank you guys for checking out, watching, or listening. And have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.